found out that we were going to have a baby literally 2 days before getting laid off at my job. So, so that's that. You can imagine what fatherhood was like for me.
Welcome to The Art of Fatherhood, a podcast that takes you on the journey of fatherhood. Now here's your host, Art Eddy.
What's going on, everybody? Art Eddy here for another edition of the Art of Fatherhood podcast. I'm very happy to have Brandon Sawyer. Thanks for taking the time to chat with me, sir. How you doing?
I'm doing great. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, man. Looking forward to chatting with Boss Baby and just your creative process. I love talking with creative guys yourself, but I love talking with guys who are dads, and I want to talk about your fatherhood journey. So take me back when you found out you were going to be a dad, sir. What was going through your mind?
Oh, man. Well, I mean, the important thing to know is that I found out that we were going to have a baby literally 2 days before getting laid off at my job. So, so that's that. You can imagine what fatherhood was like for me. You know, you come out to LA to be a writer. It takes a little time to get started, and that was the time, you know, that I had my first son. So yeah, there were a couple of scary years there. Some lean times and finding Christmas presents on the side of the road that we could refurbish and give to our kid. But, you know, made it work, and here we are.
No doubt. Yeah, and I think that, you know, perseverance, right? So, you know, just listening to that, and I could only imagine, you know, when I have two daughters, and when our first daughter came along, like, we both had jobs, and I hear sometimes people, they just say, like, yeah, like, it was great, and then all of a sudden I lost my job. I'm like, where's the, you know, the money going to come from? So perseverance, because obviously you stuck through it, and, you know, you've had such a good career, great career with everything you're doing, including Boss Baby back in the crib. But talk a little bit about, besides perseverance, I'm guessing that, you know, that was one of the things you were teaching your kids, but talk about some of the other core values.
Well, love. I mean, that's obviously, you know, that's the foundation of everything. You know, both in life and hopefully that's what we're trying to do on the show as well. But yeah, I mean, that's the most important thing that we want our kids to know, is that, you know, we love you and nothing ever changes that. You know, that never goes away, no matter what happens with any friction or choices or whatever may happen. And so we try to instill that in them as well. A generous spirit, you know, kindness, thinking of others, really just those are probably core values in our house, I would hope.
Love it, man. Those are great core values. And again, I don't want to put words in your mouth like I did with perseverance, but just being a writer, being a producer, and being in the field of, like, seeing how different people react to certain situations, you need to, like, you know, especially for you, you need to see the forest through the trees to pick up on different perceptions when you're writing a show, whatever the case may be. So I'm guessing you probably have seen a lot of things about yourself through your kids. So what is something that your kids either taught you about yourself or about life in general that you wouldn't mind sharing?
That's a really good question. Something my kids taught me about myself. Well, obviously, as they get older, they're really good at spotting your idiosyncrasies or hypocrisies if they exist. And they almost always do.
Yep.
Yeah, and they got no filter about letting you know that they're seeing that too. So that's good. That's educational.
So good.
But yeah, no, I mean, they're just, I have really funny kids. So seeing, like, how their brains work and how they process comedy and how, like, they develop a sense of what a joke is. You know, from a selfish professional standpoint, that's been great for helping me learn how to be a better writer.
Nice, man. Thank you very much for sharing that. One more question before we go into Boss Baby Back in the Crib. What is a big piece of advice you'd offer to new dads or new parents listening to this? Or maybe not a piece of advice, because sometimes people are like, I'm not going to give advice. Like a dad hack. What is something that worked for you that you wouldn't mind passing on to, you know, parents?
Again, really good question. I would say one that's been just invaluable to us as our kids have grown is starting young. And this also was a necessity because we have more kids than parents in my house. I got four kids. So we, you know, set a time once a month when we sit down and we're just talking. Like each of us will take two of the kids, you know, each month and sit down and like, this is just your time that we're going to talk. I'm going to ask you some questions. You can ask me some questions. If you got complaints about, you know, household rules or policies or whatever, now's the time. And where that's really been helpful is when there is a problem, it's not just coming out of nowhere. It doesn't feel like an attack to say, hey, we're going to sit down and we're going to have a chat. This is an intervention. You know, it's no, this is just a normal thing that happens every month. And we're going to bring up something now that we need to talk about that might be uncomfortable. So just having that been a regularly scheduled habit in the house has been great as the kids have been growing.
Kudos to you guys. I think that is fantastic. Just being in this parenting space, communication, I think, is one of the most important elements in any relationship, but with kids, because you want to make sure that, you know, you appreciate where they are. Because you could just like, you know, be like, oh, you're having a fight with your friend. Oh, don't worry about it. But if you kind of like say, oh, you know, rub some dirt on it, you'll be fine the next day. But having that time where you guys can explore and, you know, especially since you and you know, your spouse are you know, doing zone defense, right? Because it's 2-on-1.
Exactly. Yeah.
Breaking, I think even breaking it down to, you know, you take two and your spouse takes two is great, because you're kind of like, this is how, you know, I want to make sure that, you know, everything doesn't get, you know, overstated or like people talk about, you know, over each other. So I think that's a great piece of advice. You know, we only have two kids, my wife and I, and like we will have one-on-one time. And it's just great, because whether I'm playing, you know, NHL 22 with my youngest and talking about things, or if I'm going to a movie with my oldest, you have that time and it like it doesn't feel like an intervention. So I love that, man. So that's
Call it. My wife taught me this term that she'd read somewhere, that is shoulder time. Like it's you're like, when you're talking about, you're playing a video game together, you're not, it's not this face-to-face confrontation. It's you're sitting next to each other on the couch. And so they'll open up a little bit more because it's less awkward. And that's invaluable. Like I'll take my kids, I'll schedule things that we have to take a half hour drive for, because it's like, I know I'm going to get you in the car for half an hour and you might open up to me.
The car is the best, man. I wrote an article like the benefits of being a taxi driver for your kids, whether you're taking them to different things. I love it.
Absolutely, yeah.
Well done, sir. Again, congrats on Boss Baby back in the crib. You're the executive producer. Talk a little bit about, I mean, the series takes place after the second Boss Baby film. You know, these movies are great because it's just a different way of, like, you know, showing, you know, babies and just a cool spin on like what they might be thinking and going through, but what they're acting out. We're definitely fans of the movie series, so we're looking forward to this, of course, on Netflix. But talk a little bit about what fans of the films can expect from the series.
I'm trying to think what the right term is for it, because it's not really a reboot, you know, because it's still continuing on.
Yep.
Sort of a spinoff. What I love about the show and what excited me to do it after having done, you know, I think 52 episodes of the original Back in Business show and having told that whole story was we wiped the decks here. You know, other than Boss Baby himself, just about everybody is either new or changed in significant ways, because decades have passed between in you know, kind of the world of the show, decades have passed between the original series and original movie and then new movie, new series. So even characters that you already know have been changed by the passage of time, and just getting to introduce these new family dynamics, getting to introduce new characters, getting to introduce a new field team. How has Baby Corp changed in all these years? That was really fun and exciting and a big fresh canvas for us to paint on.
Nice. I love that. And especially too, with the fresh canvas, I think, you know, as a kid, when you're watching animated series or cartoons back in the day, you're just enjoying it for what they are. And then as you get older and you still enjoy animated series and stuff like that, I love the fact that casting for voice acting almost is tougher sometimes than live action, right? Because not only do they have to voice the character, they got to get all the emotions. I mean, the animators do a great job of getting that out, but the voice actor, I'm a big fan of voice actors. Probably can tell with my spiel about talking about voice actors, but I love the blood, sweat, and tears that they put in that. So talk a little bit about casting the voice actors for this series and what that process was like.
Sure. Well, you know, we had JP and we knew that. Obviously, the characters that were established by the movie, we had to find a Tim, we had to find a Carol, we had to find a Tina. And Tabitha came over. Ariana Greenblatt was excited to come over and do the show with us. That process was, there's a term our casting department uses called feel alike, you know, so it's more than a sound alike where you're just trying to sort of imitate the cadence of, you know, a very specific actor. But does the audition feel like these characters? And so they sifted through, who knows how many hundreds of audition tapes, filtered that down to a smaller, you know, group for us to listen to. And the choices were just, I mean, it was so clear. There's a lot of talented people out there, but when you hear the voice and you immediately know that that's the character, you know, Mary Faber is Tina. Like, there's just no question. Max Mittleman is Tim and Chrissy Bajos is Carol. And there's just absolutely no question. So then between that and then our casting department suggested Nicole Byer for this nanny cam character that we'd written up. And again, you hear that voice and everything clicks and it's, yes, this is who we've been waiting for. She's perfect.
Nice, man. Thank you very much for sharing that. And as a writer, producer, and editor and more, like, talk a little bit about your creative process. And is it, I'm guessing for no matter which hat you're wearing, it's going to be different. But for you, describe, like, are you a creature of habit? Like, for me, I'm a creature of habit. I'm very robotic, especially when it comes to the art of fatherhood and like when things are going to be published and all that other stuff. But for you, what is the process like for you in the creative process? And is it different from project to project?
Well, I can't really answer the second question because this is Boss Baby is actually my first executive producer credit. And helped tremendously by having, you know, two really good, I mean, the job of a line producer, we started with Benjamin Kaltenecker on the original series and then Nora Lewis-Borbély on the new show. They are really good. They know how to systematize disorganized artist writer types like me and much of the team. And so they are great at sort of scheduling that time and saying, here's all the responsibilities you have. Here's how we can fit that into, you know, a 2-week schedule so that we can keep this relentless pace of episodes going and you don't die. So I'm very grateful for skilled line producers and production managers and others from the production team who really keep us on the ball.
Yeah, it's just amazing. I love the behind the scenes or just like a little, you know, those documentaries where you see like the production and like how, like, you know, from concept to the finalized project, because you really don't, like, the I guess to me, the quality of a good movie is like you don't think about that because you're just so immersed in the story. And then the behind the scenes features will kind of like explore that. And you're just like, I didn't know that happened, or that's crazy that happened. They still were able to, you know, make the deadline or whatever. So thank you very much for sharing that. One more question before we finish off with the Fatherhood Quick Five. And I know this. You have four kids. I have two kids. I'm not asking you, like, who's your favorite kid? But in this new series, Boss Baby Back in the Crib, is there a character that viewers should be looking out for that, like, you guys were, like, creating this character and they're, like, all of a sudden, like, whether it was the voice actor, the writing, or combination, where they're like, oh, man, that character is stealing the show. Is there someone that we should look out for in this series?
Yeah, honestly, and this sounds so diplomatic, but it's 100% sincere. This ensemble is so good that yes, you'll have those experiences, but it will change every single episode. Like, you'll walk away from an episode saying, oh, that Pip, that's my favorite new character, and Karen Sony is so funny. And you're right, and he is going to steal the episode, but then you're going to watch the next episode and it's somebody else because they're all so good.
Nice. Yeah. And now that you say that, yeah, I think there's a lot of the way that, you know, stream, especially with Netflix and all that, like, there's so many good shows out there and you're just like, you're waiting to see more of maybe that one character you kind of fell in love with in the next episode. Like, wait, where'd this character come from? I like them too. So thank you very much for sharing that. Fatherhood Quick Five, favorite family movie. Do you guys have one?
Oh, so let's see if that's a collective question. Probably nothing's been watched in this household more than original Shrek.
Okay, nice. Good choice. Right,
quick
there.
Five. You're talking quick five to a very slow speaker here. So I'll try to be quicker with questions. No, that's five.
Good, man. I appreciate it. Favorite family song, or is there an artist or band you couldn't wait to introduce your kids to?
Nope, I'm not any quicker. I lied. I'm trying to think. They all are so different. All my kids have such different tastes that. No, sorry.
Is there an artist that maybe they showed you, like one of them, they're like, oh, this is pretty cool. Like you haven't heard before. Like, is there some, like one of your kids, like, hey, you should check this out.
Well, my son's trying to introduce us to Doja Cat right now. So,
my kids. Nice. Describe the perfect family vacation. Where would it be?
A perfect family vacation would be someplace where we don't speak the language and can just be lost and kind of explore for a little bit.
Great answer right there.
Love doing that.
Favorite animated show when you were a kid was?
Favorite animated show when I was a kid, probably Super Friends.
Well done. Nice. And lastly, top three words you hope your kids would use to describe you as a dad. What would you want them to be?
Oh man, patient, chill, and loving for sure.
Nice, very cool. Great three words right there, Brandon. Tell the fine folks where people can kind of follow you. Of course, you know, they can check out Boss Baby Back in the Crib on Netflix. If there's like a social media handle that you should have people follow, what would it be?
The only social media I regularly use is Twitter. I don't know that I'd recommend following me. I'm very quiet. I'll tweet occasionally. You can look me up. Not a lot of Brandon Sawyers out there. I'm the guy getting punched in the face by my son like that.
Yeah.
In my
avatar. I love the avatar. It's for the people, because you're being modest. It's I_ Brandon Sawyer. Check him out. Follow him. Do the good stuff. And make sure you check out Boss Baby Back in the Crib on Netflix. Thank you so much for your time. I know you're a busy guy, but this was great. And I wish you and your family continued success, sir.
Thank you. Same to you.
Thanks for checking out this week's edition of the Art of Fatherhood podcast. Please rate, subscribe, and review wherever you listen to podcasts. And also go to artoffatherhood.net. You can have a chance to check out some great articles like the weekly Dad's Doing It Right column, the Collector of the Week, and many more. Plus, you have a chance to win some very cool prizes like video games, collectibles, all that good stuff. Go to artoffatherhood.net. And please make sure you rate, subscribe, and review wherever you listen to podcasts, because I'll greatly appreciate it to get the word out on the Art of Fatherhood podcast. Thank you so much.
Thanks for listening to the Art of Fatherhood podcast. Leave a review wherever you listen to podcasts and go to artoffatherhood.net.